Hi, and welcome to the Quick and Dirty Romance Podcast. We're your hosts, romance authors, and bi-coastal friends for life. I'm Skye McDonald, author of the hockey goalie romance Scoreless.
And I'm Sarah Smith, author of No Freaking Way.
And together we are Sarah Skye, author of the best-selling Unlikely Pairing series.
Each episode, we'll dive deep into what it's like to be a contemporary romance author. We'll talk writing inspiration, give you the inside scoop about the publishing world, chat about how we write those infamous sex scenes, and more. And then we'll pull out and wrap it up in 30 minutes or less, but we promise to leave you satisfied.
So if you haven't already read our books, be sure to check them out after you listen to this podcast. And we are always open for DMs and contact about any questions or future requests that you may have.
So today we have another book we want you to check out. We are so excited to welcome R.L. Merrill to the show. R.L. Merrill writes contemporary romance, paranormal, and horror romance. Her newest book, Under His Sheets, is out as of today. Under His Sheets is a male-male light romantic suspense and part of R.L.'s Accidentally Undercover series.
Welcome, R.L. Do you prefer R.L. or Ro? How should we call you?
Call me Ro. That's totally fine. The initials are weird. I get it. But, it's been 10 years and I'm kind of stuck with them.
Very good. So welcome, Ro, and congratulations on your book release.
Thank you.
Ro is joining us today to talk about music as inspiration in books. So this is an interesting topic because I think all three of us have fairly differing experiences with it. So Ro, start us off. Talk about the role that music plays in your books.
Well, music is pretty much the governing influence in my life, period. I have been a huge fan since birth, probably. My mom played records and 8-tracks all the time. I was a dancer starting from 3 years old. So I've been exposed to all the kinds of music. And I started going to live concerts as soon as I was able. My first one was New Edition at the Oakland Coliseum in 1985. So, I've just been a fan my whole life. And when I started writing in 2009, my first book didn't have it had musicians in it, but it wasn't necessarily like musician focused. But I've always been fascinated by the stories behind the music and the people behind the songs that I've loved my whole life. And so now I just make up stories about them to people and it's kind of fun. But this book in particular was interesting because I was finding, I kept stumbling upon some very interesting pieces of music while I was writing it. I had always been a fan of the band Faith No More. Their lead singer, Mike Patton, has one of the most interesting voices in rock. And he apparently in 2011, he recorded a whole album called Mondo Cane of Italian pop songs from the 60s. And I started listening and I was like, what is this? And it was so bizarre, but cool. And it just became the kind of link between the two characters. Like something that they had in common, that they both liked this very obscure album by this, legendary rock star. And so the main character, Randall, who is the POV character in the book, he is an indie rocker. Think like, I'm trying to think of who I would compare him to. I'm failing, but he definitely is heavily influenced by Jeff Buckley, who is an artist that I absolutely adored. And so he is with his band in Barcelona and they get robbed and they've kind of already been on their last legs because they're not getting along. And the band says, that's it, we're done. And they just leave him there. His passport's gone, like he can't get home. So he has to wait to go to the embassy. And while he's waiting for that, he stumbles into a huge protest in Barcelona, which when I went in 2018 there were a lot of protests going on. Our tour group kind of was kept away from them, but it had to do with the independence movement. So a lot of influences in this book, but I had this hapless, you know, musician who gets rescued during this protest by a hot Spanish man who, I mean, there are a lot of those there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they kind of bond over music, and the guy had seen his band play in a club before the robbery happened. And so he offers to take care of him that night. And he thinks that's it. And then 2 weeks later, he starts a job teaching music at a an international school. And here comes his savior in a custodian uniform and doesn't acknowledge him, and then says he doesn't speak English. So he's like, what is happening? What is going on with this guy? So music kind of is a, there's a lot of music that inspired me during the writing of the book. There's a lot that shows up in the book. And it's a little different. I tend towards more like harder rock stuff, but I just also came off my last series had a lot of like 60s crooner Frank Sinatra kind of vibe. And so, yeah, my tastes are all over the place.
So do you start, like, does a song, do you need a song to get a book story? And are you, well, I was going to ask, are you a pantser or a plotter, but that's not really quite as relevant. Like, is it... Is it a song that inspires every book, or are you like planning a book and then you're looking for the song to go with it, or is it a little bit of anything goes?
Usually it's a sound. It's not necessarily a song. So like a lot of authors will say, oh, I see the book happening in my head like a movie, but I hear it. Like I hear the characters talking. I hear what kind of background music there would be. And so, and it'll have a vibe. And sometimes it has to do with the place, or maybe it has to do with what I'm looking or what I'm listening to. For right now, the book that I'm writing right now, which is gonna come out in August, one of the main characters is a folk singer from the 60s who goes missing. And he kind of resurfaces 40 years later, but he's the same age. So there's definitely a paranormal bent, but I have been on this deep dive into folk music from the 60s, the whole Laurel Canyon scene. Yep. And I even found some folk singers that I had never heard of before that had these like wild backstories. People, a woman named Connie Converse, who was in New York in the 50s, Bob Dylan loved going to hear her play, and she couldn't get a record deal. So she spent the next like 8 years or so doing social justice work in Michigan. And then in 1974, she wrote letters to her friends and family and said, don't come looking for me. I'm going away and I'm going to start over. And no one ever saw her or her vehicle ever again. Just, whoa. I mean, just gone. Poof. Like that doesn't happen, especially not now, right?
Not now.
There's so
right?
many ways to track people. So, you know, the stories behind the music inspire me, and then the music inspires me. And so, yeah, the playlist for this book already has some pretty interesting combinations of music, and we'll see how it ends up.
Are you going like Guthrie style folk, like Dylan Electric at Newport kind of?
More Crosby, Stills and Nash.
Okay.
Young and Joni Mitchell. Mm-hmm. And sort of that vibe from the Laurel Canyon folks.
Got it. Okay. So, or West Coast, not East. I see it. Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
East Coast.
Awesome.
I mean, certainly that's inspired the California sound, but, but yeah.
Very cool. So that's fascinating. And that's like a great jumping in point about music. Sarah, what does music do for you? Because that's not a thing we talk about a lot. Like normally when we're writing a book together, we'll have a couple of songs that we'll be like, oh, you know, Harmony would totally love this song. Like when we were doing Whispers of Sunshine, but like, what is music for you? I'm interested in this.
So for me, it's, first of all, Ro, I love your, pro- Like, I love hearing the role that music plays for you, like, because it's just so different from me. Because I rarely, so for me, it's all about the vibe. So I have like a million playlists on my Spotify on my phone that I, that the songs don't even really have to do with like, oh, the tropes that I'm writing or whatever right. that I'm working on. It's just like, I listen to the song and it puts me in a good mood and I kind of want to keep writing whatever I'm writing for this book. So that's, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what you would call that. It's not really as, it's not very deep for me. It's just like, what puts me in a good mood? Oh, I could tell like they would like this. My characters would love this song. but
mood is so important. I mean, yeah. Like mood, and if you listen to music, so a lot of authors I know don't listen to any music at all, or they listen to only instrumental. They can't have words. Mm-hmm. I would say about half of the songs that go on my playlist are a vibe, a mood that I'm in for this book. And sometimes it gets a little dark and it'll match kind of the tone of the book. But there will be a few songs that like describe a scene, or like the lyrics will have to do with what they were feeling. Like in Under His Sheets, I found the artist Johnny Swim, which is, a husband wife duo. The wife, I did not know that Donna Summer is her mother. And I really? Was like, well, now it makes perfect sense. Yeah, I didn't know that. Someone told me that recently. But he did a song, the husband wrote a song called Pay Dearly. And the whole song was written about somebody doing his father wrong and how he wanted them to pay for it. And it's this like, you know, really angry, emotional outcry. And there's a scene in the book that, you know, the bad guys or whatever go after the family of Alonso. And he is just like furious that they would have outed him, that they would have, you know, put his father, who he very much loves and respects, back into a medical condition. Like it just, the song was just like so perfect for that moment. So it's both, right? But the vibe definitely has to be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just, it's weird because like most of the music that I listen to, when it comes to my books and like having playlists for my books are like poppy, top 40, or, you know, like very popular songs. But like, I wouldn't, but like if one song is in like one book playlist, I can't put it in the other one, you know, like it's weird. Like, yeah. It's just, I'm really particular about that. And I don't know why. It's probably just like my weird writer brain. Cause I think we all have like weird writer brains that do things that only make sense to us, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And if you try to explain it, it's like, people are like, I don't, what, no, that doesn't that make any sense. Like, I don't understand. Yeah.
Because those songs matched that book for you, even if the book, like if it like doesn't obviously match the book, like Rose almost talking about an almost synesthesia of like you hear the book in like all the playlists, and that's so beautiful. But like even if the songs just go with the book in your mind, it makes sense that you wouldn't transfer them to another set of characters. It's like this was this couple's, or like this book's vibe, and so I mm-hmm. think that makes a lot of sense. I'm very interested in how, like you were saying, Ro, a lot of people will not listen to any music, or it's instrumental only. I remember like when I was a student, I could only listen to instrumental if I was studying, because I listened to a lot of the Lord of the Rings soundtrack in college. But you know, it was like, I couldn't, cause I wanted to sing along. Like I know, like I'm not a very talented singer, but I know all the words to all the songs. Like I know so many songs, and so I would just want to sing. But there's something about writing where I do want to hear lyrical music. And mm-hmm. I think it's because, kind of like to what both of your points is like, it pulls a little bit more out of me. It kind of uplifts me in a way that it's mm-hmm. not just background music, but it's also not distracting to me somehow. So right. like, you know, like there are moments where I'm listening, or maybe I'll hear a new song and I'll kind of pause and I'll be like, wow, this song really vibes. But mm-hmm. for the most part, I'm just happy to hear it. And it just kind of, as Sarah was saying, fuels the writing. I also.
Yeah, and I'm finding with the folk music that I've been listening to, the lyrical rhythms and cadence is different than a lot of what I normally listen to. And there's so much more care put into the words that they choose. So I feel like it's inspiring me to be more picky with my words. I mean, I'm somewhere in like 60 something, you know, novels, novellas, short stories published. And I find myself, if I'm using the same things to describe stuff, I'm starting to get irritated with myself. So it's been nice to kind of like immerse myself in practicing choosing better prose or choosing different words than I normally would have. Like, especially you talked about sex scenes. Come on, like we have the fallbacks, the things that we, you know, and there's one line that made it into the book and I'm like, oh, I've used that before and somebody might pick that up, you know? So, but folk music just really like, if you listen to like Helplessly Hoping by Crosby, Stills, and Nash, it is total alliteration. And the way the language just flows together and the word choices, I'm like, ah, I want that. I need that inspiration. So we'll see if it works. I don't know.
Awesome.
It might still just be, and then they went, yeah, I don't know. It still could be lame, but we'll see.
I love that though. Like for the most part, I think I listen to pop as well. Is it like, I'll want to go into like specific genres. Like, so the book that I'm writing now is a hockey book and I kind of want it to be a little bit more grittier pop as opposed to kind of like upbeat. Because I don't know, it feels more right. But to change genres or to change like, so when I did the 80s book, the book set in 86, I was all into The Cure, Depeche Mode, Echo and the Bunnymen. And that was all I was listening to for a while. And it does kind of it does get you in the vibe. Like you do, to me, like I do need some kind of music. I mean, my series is set in Nashville. So like I always, if I'm doing a series book, I'm always trying to reference something out of Nashville, Rustin Kelly, Jason Isbell, like Kings of Leon, right? Like Sex on Fire is mentioned in my first book. But again, like Sarah was saying, you don't want to overlap it, right? So like if Rustin Kelly's Mockingbird shows up in Nemesis, then we're going to talk about Jason Isbell somewhere else. You know, it's like, you don't want to like just keep dipping in the same pool. Although I will say for me, I try to put a Beatles reference, even if it's not an actual song, in every one of my books because I was a Beatles nerd. Like I forget to tell people that I like the Beatles because it's such a default piece. If somebody's like, what bands do you listen to? Yeah. I tend to not mention them because it's like mentioning breathing. So that was a big thing for me, but I still try to kind of like work it in or reference it in just for like my own amusement. Let's talk about soundtracks to books because on TikTok, I have seen people say, oh, that's cool, but I don't ever click on them. Some people are all about the soundtrack. Ro, do you put the soundtrack in the front of your book? Because I went to your website and I see you have your Spotify link there. So do you soundtrack your books and how much of a listenership do you get out of that?
So I've kind of gone back and forth the last few years. I stopped using Spotify for a little while. Some of us were a little irritated with some of the choices that Spotify was making about who they were supporting. So I switched over to using YouTube Music, which actually is, I think, easier for people who don't have streaming subscriptions to use because you can listen to a playlist and you'll get ads, but you can listen to them in order. And I believe Spotify, because I've had premium for so long. I have premium Spotify. I have YouTube Music. I have Apple Music. I have Amazon Music, which I never listen to. I have Sirius XM, like in the cars. I mean, I'm so ridiculous. I have tons of vinyl. I still have all my cassettes. I have CDs in a container and then a bunch in store. Like, I am ridiculous.
No, I think it's awesome. I think this is so cool.
It's cool.
Well, and my son like loves vinyl now too. And even my daughter, like she started buying cassettes and I'm like, that's so cute, but it's really not the most durable way to listen to music, but it's okay. But yeah, I get to go record shopping with my son and it's great. And like, he'll pick out, oh, here's that, you know, Cass Elliot album you were looking for. Oh, hey, do we have this Billy Idol? Like it's really fun. Nice. But the playlist, I do put them in the ebooks. Sometimes they end up in the written books and I go, well, that's dumb because nobody can, like, one of the books I published recently, I looked at it after I got the print. And I was like, oh, it says playlist right there, but that's a hyperlink, which doesn't translate, you know? So I try to share them on my social media. What I've started doing on TikTok is like screenshotting the screen on Spotify of the song and then putting a bunch of those together to make a reel, and then having one of the songs be the song that's playing in the background, which of course is limited now that Universal Music was, you know, taken out. So, which whatever, it's fine. I totally support the artists and, you know, I understand why they did that. So yeah, so they're kind of floating all over. I don't know how to check and see how many people are listening. I haven't done that because I know, you know, I have a few people who say, oh yeah, I'll listen to the playlist, but I know a lot of readers aren't like me. I like to listen to the playlist while I'm reading something. However, most of my reading I do in bed at night, so I don't listen while I'm reading, but I'll listen to it like in the car the next day or whatever.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always make a playlist, but I'll share them around like on social media, but I never try to like really leverage them or put them into like the front of the book. Like any book, more in my Anti-Bell series than the hockey series, but you're going to see songs referenced. Like songs will be referenced, right? Like you will hear that so-and-so is doing this. And again, Nashville. So lots of musical influence. Like how could I not? But I tend to like go kind of lightly and just be like, hey, here it is for what it's worth. The 80s book, I definitely went more on because I think people like had a little bit more fun with that, but I don't know. And like, Sarah, do you do playlists? Like, do you share them?
I sometimes share them on like my social media, specifically on Instagram. I might share them. I just don't really like music is, I love music. Obviously it influences my mood when I write and that's really important, but like referencing it when I write doesn't really happen that often, which is funny because like, so my mom's family is Filipino and like, I like Filipino Americans love karaoke and music and singing along and stuff. And like, it's just such a part of our culture and like lifestyle. And every time we have like a gathering or a family thing, there's a karaoke machine going, someone singing some like power ballad. Like it's super fun. But like, I feel like part of me is like, because I have that so much in my personal life, I don't feel like I always need to include it in my writing. And I don't really even know why. I just don't think to. I don't know.
But it's we just... did put karaoke into.
Yes, we did. Yeah, we do. Yeah, we did. We did put that into a Sarah Skye book in Vibes and Feels. And that was super fun. So that does happen every once in a while. But I feel like, yeah, it's just very, it's very separate in that way. Like,
interesting.
Yeah. And I don't even, again, I don't even know why, because like music is like a really big thing. It's a big family thing. Like I used to sing a lot when I was younger, but it just doesn't like, it doesn't occur to me like, oh, I need to share this in my book. And I don't know. And I don't even know why. It's just different.
Yeah. Let's play with music for a second. So
yeah.
Rose said New Order was her first concert.
New Edition.
New Edition. New Edition. Sorry.
Yeah.
New
Edition. That's a good first concert. It That's is a good
really cool. It was great. It was great.
Yeah. Sarah, first concert?
My first concert was Christina Aguilera.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, that's right in line with like my personality and what I like to listen to and stuff. What was yours?
Gordon Lightfoot at 9 years old in the dead of Nashville summer. Where my parents thought that was a good idea. I still give them hell about that. I'm like, I love Gordon Lightfoot's story songs now. Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, Beautiful, Sundown. Yes, yes, yes. But as 9 years old, I didn't give a crap about any of this. I just wanted to go home.
Yeah, I took my daughter's and my niece. Their first concert was No Doubt. And they dressed, we got like matching outfits for them, my sister, and like, they were so stinking cute. It was so cute. Nice. My son, I can't even remember what his first concert was. I took them to so many cool shows and he used to fall asleep. He fell asleep in Hailstorm and Bullet for My Valentine. Like, how does that happen? In a, you know, at the Warfield in San Francisco, super loud. Now it's funny because both of them, they both have, they're highly sensitive. They have anxiety. And so concerts are tough for my son sometimes. Like, he'll go, but he has to be in the right headspace. Mm-hmm. In fact, I took him to see Cypress Hill in the fall because he was taking history of rap and hip hop at school. I'm like, nice. What is this college? It was the marijuana was so thick. Ugh. In the building, in the classic antique Fox Theater in Oakland. Yeah. And it was just completely filled. And we couldn't breathe. We had to leave.
Yeah.
I'm like, we stayed for maybe four songs and we had to go because it was just too bad. So he gets a little overwhelmed, but I mean, he's seen Metallica. He's seen, you know, I took him to see Earth, Wind, and Fire. He's been to see Robert Cray in a small club. Like, so I try to take him to a lot of shows, but sometimes he's like, yeah, I don't know if I want to do that. And so I try to like back off. And my daughter had a brain injury when she was in high school. She rode horses. Mm. And so concerts, she was my total concert buddy all through middle school. She was in her emo phase. And I was like, oh, this is hard rock. I can deal with this. But for a lot of years, she couldn't handle going to concerts. It was just too loud. And then she went through her K-pop phase and her like super raunchy female rap phase. Oh. And now she's listening to classic rock, which is funny. She's like, Mom, why didn't you play this Van Halen album for me? And I'm like, yeah, we kind of did listen to that a lot, but okay. I'm glad you just discovered 1984 now, but that's okay.
I had a student ask me once, like, what music do you listen to? And I was like, well, except for like death metal and electronica, I pretty much listen to everything. And he was like, do you listen to K-pop? And I was like, no. And so I credit this student for getting me into BTS. And I had a lot of fun with that. All right. So another question, is there an artist that you have seen multiple times or that you would go to see them anytime they play?
Metallica for sure.
Okay.
I've seen them. I don't even remember 5, 6, right. 7 times. And we're going to Seattle to see them this summer because they're doing, this is the second year of their 72 tour. And each tour date is 2 nights, 2 completely different set lists and different openers each night. So it's like Friday night, we'll get, I don't remember what the mix is, but we'll get Five Finger Death Punch and Wolfgang Van Halen's Mammoth. The other night we get Ice Nine Kills, which I love, and Pantera. So oh, wow. Like,
okay.
But so that's this summer. So yeah, Metallica, I will go to see a lot for sure.
Sarah?
So it's funny. I don't really go, like, I've been to like quite a few concerts, especially when I was younger, but like recently I just like, and it's not because I have any like issues that are triggered by like diagnosable things. I'm just like such a little priss. Like if I like the smell of marijuana, and it like, I don't have anything against people who partake in that responsibly and legally. It's nauseating. I want to vomit every time I smell it. It's gross. And so like concerts, I've learned, are like a place where people just like light it up and they don't care, and that's fine. And I hate it so much that like,
okay.
I don't think I've seen a musical artist more than once ever in my life.
Okay.
I just don't, because the act of going to a concert and like smelling people's marijuana and their BO and like, this person's like out of their effing mind. And then this person wants to mosh. I'm like, get me the hell out of here. I can't deal with this.
That's amazing. It's true. I will say, yeah. I've seen The Who in concert. Roger Daltrey does not, if there is a whiff of any type of smoke, he's like, put it out. Like, he does not play with that. I think he's asthmatic. Like, I've actually seen him kind of like walk behind stage and take a hit off a pump, but like, he is not play with that. So like, respect, because he can still do Love Rain or Me, and he's like 75 years old. So huge respect. Yeah, it's great. When I was in high school, I saw Aerosmith 5 times. I had a huge thing for Joe Perry.
So me too. One of the sexiest guitar players ever, and there's just nobody sounds like him. I do. So, I'm a big Joe
the
Perry
shirt
fan.
Open the hair, just
yeah, yeah.
And in recent years, I have seen Jason Isbell like 5 times. I will see him pretty much anytime he comes in concert. I've seen him at the Ryman like 2 or 3 times, which is super fun. And then, of course, last year I saw Springsteen in Jersey and Taylor in Nashville, like back to back. So that was super fun.
Huge. Huge.
Yeah. Yeah. Really fun. I love concerts. I do, like, it is draining. It can be very draining because it's a massive event, right? Like, there's lots of people and there's, it's like a whole night. Like, so I can totally see where if you're not really in the vibe to do it, like, it does not work. But when it's like, when it's there, like I saw Bleachers, that's one of my favorite bands of the moment. Okay. And like I saw them, Jack Antonoff on the rooftop at Pier 17 in the city. It was just great. It was just great. So, but I love the way that like music influences all of us, even, you know, whether overtly or sort of like subliminally. I think this was a really, really interesting topic to open up. And on that note, that was great for me. Was it good for you, ladies?
So good.
Hell yeah.
This has been amazing. Thank you all so much for listening. If you like what you hear, please, please leave us a review on iTunes or wherever you listen. Go read all of our books. You have many things to choose from. As Ro said, she has been very prolific, and you can go with and rock out to all of our soundtracks. You can find more about Ro on her website, rlmerrill.com, and on Instagram at rlmerrillauthor. As for Sarah and me, you can find us on Instagram at Author Sarah Sky, and I am on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, all at Author Sky McDonald.
And you can find me on Instagram and TikTok. I'm at Author Sarah S. We'd love to hear from you, so reach out and DM us with any questions or requests for future episodes.
Ro, thank you for joining us, and thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Thanks for having me. This was fun.
So fun. Yeah. Bye, guys.